it is a psalm of praise and exhortation. It's a call to praise. It's an encouragement for those that are hearing this psalm to lift their voice and be thankful. And it's a call to the nation there, the Israel nation. And it's a call for us to be thankful and praise God. So let's begin. We'll read the first four verses. Psalm 66. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name. The psalmist says, shout joyfully to God. You know, this is he's expressing his happiness, his joy. And he says, all the earth, all of mankind. And we know all of the mankind should be praising God today, shouldn't they? And be offering a praise to God, the Creator. And we see the wonders of God around in life, but we recognize the ultimate power of God in the salvation of our souls. But all of creation should be worshiping God and worship God. And you think of the earth and through all time, you know, I saw a little thought on this whole universe and God. It's like, this earth is an auditorium, you know, and he's up there just listening and well, he's everywhere, but listening and hearing the wonderful praise that we give him. And so we offer up all our praise to him. And this is his auditorium. And if you look at verse 2, he says, sing the glory of his name. He tells us to make his praise. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise what? Glorious. Glorious. The writer says to put glory in your praise. You know, we can't make him or any more glorious than he already is, can't we? He contains in himself all glory, all majesty. But we are to worship him. We're worshiping him today, not to see what we can get out of it, but what we can present to him with our hearts, with our songs, with our words, and some of the things that we should do. You know, we think of it, we're in awe of what he's done. We worship him in reverence, don't we? And so we come and assemble because we're aware of his great glory. That's why we come. And you know, we think about, you know, people wanting to get something out of their worship. Well, that's not what we're here for, is it? God is pleased when we come to worship. You know, he already knows us. And so he's a rewarder of those who seek him, isn't he? And we're going to get something out of it if we'll have that attitude. If we'll have that attitude of praise and thankfulness as we come together. You know, he's pleased that we come to assemble and giving him his glory and any and all our efforts, not just today in our worship, our efforts are always, you know, to give him the glory. We hear people say all that all the time as things happen throughout life. You know, we got to be thankful. We got to recognize that he is in control and how awesome are his works. Look there at verse 3. Say to God, how awesome are your works? How awesome. You know, do we do that as we go throughout our days, though? Or do we just we're full steam ahead sometimes. You know, I know how it is back when I was a little younger and working and going and all the things that life throws at you and you're just full steam ahead. And I'm not saying we have to just stop and just, oh, thank you, God, you know. But as we're going throughout our day, are we recognizing all the blessings, whether it be our job, our home, our, you know, that yard you got to pull weeds in, you know, do we recognize God has blessed us with so many wonderful things in this life. And most importantly, we know, you know, every gift that we have is just another, every breath that we take is just another step towards eternal life, isn't it? You think about that, every breath, every minute. And so as we look, you know, every day that our life should be leading us to what it's all about. You know, it's not all about paying the bills. It's not all about, you know, getting to that next level or whatever it is you're working towards. And it's just a recognizing of Him. And if you look here in these very first four verses of this psalm, and the terms that are used, there's 10 terms I want us to look at. I just want us to think about related to the mindset that we should have in our life. There's the word praises, you know, giving praise to God. There's the word joyfully throughout our day, throughout our life. Sing. We're going to sing some songs later. And, you know, maybe you do that to in yourself. You know, I'm glad when I'm alone, I can sing a little out loud because I have a terrible voice. So, but you sing and you glory is another word. His name is another term there. Glorious, awesome, greatness, power, and worship. Those are 10 terms there that our mindset, whether it be publicly and privately, should be, you know, where we're focusing. Our focus should be on our heavenly home. And so the acknowledgement as we go through life and the mindset set towards God is, you know, think about how strong our faith can be as after everything that happens, whether it be something that's bad, and we're going to talk some more about that, getting through those trials, you know, getting past that person that's constantly maybe causing you problems in life and praying for that person. But here he says there in verse 3, or that, because of your greatness and your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience. Is God going to take care of the unrighteous? I mean, do we really believe that? Because I know sometimes we get all worked up. We get all, you know, wrapped up around all these people, and it causes us so much pain and trouble because we're so focused on them, and just instead of just saying, you know, God's going to take care of that. And I know sometimes that's easier said than done, but we have to continue to look towards God as He's going to give that. You know, Philippians 2, if you want to turn there, I'll read that real quick. Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11. So that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, back there at David's time, did the Israelite nation have a history of seeing their enemies, God's enemies, defeated? They did, didn't they? They seen it over and over and over, didn't they? But what did it do sometimes? It didn't make any difference to their faith, even though they seen it. And you know, sometimes we think, boy, I sure wish that person, that enemy of mine, would just, you know, get theirs. And we shouldn't be hoping to see our enemies. Of course, we should be praying for enemies, but we shouldn't be hoping to see our enemies' downfall. It didn't help their faith, did it? It didn't bring them closer to God. So many times they forgot those things. That attitude that God will take care of it seems to just fade right away with the Israelite nation many times, didn't it? God will see to defeating His enemies. And we have to have faith, don't we? We have to have faith that God is in control. Whether it be, you know, whether our enemies are friends of God, it says, all the earth will worship you in verse 4 there of Psalms. They acknowledge his might and his glory, the psalmist says, all the earth will worship you and will sing your praises and will know that you are in control. Let's look at verse 5 through 7 there in Psalm 66. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds towards the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nation. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. He says, come see. The writer here is reminding them, you know, to recount the awesomeness of God and how he delivered the people out of Egypt and divided the Red Sea. You know, this is 350 to 400 years later that David or the psalmist is writing. And we see, you know, a lot of the Old Testament, how God controlled all the nations. He took down many kingdoms, and he still does, doesn't he? He's going to take care of rulers and kings and queens and presidents and congressmen, and he can and will control, and he is in control of all things. We just have to sometimes just let it go. I know we hear a lot of things that go on in our political realm and around the world, and it's troubling, and we need to pray for those things and recognize that God is control. Let's look at verses 8 through 12. Bless our God, O peoples, and sound his praise abroad, who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. For you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid upon an oppressive burden upon our loins. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out into a place of abundance. Again, the psalmist here is reminding them, again, through all the difficulties, a call to the nation to sound his praise. Let the people hear you. Let them hear your praising and acknowledge God. Why? Because in verse 9, he keeps us in life. And what else? He says he does not allow our feet to slip. That word slip there, does anyone have a footnote in their Bible for that word? I'm sorry? Stumble? I have the word dodder. Stumble, totter. There's the word wobble or shake. You know, you think about all those things. That's not very firm footing, is it? Way of things that are going on in your life. He's not going to allow you to slip. He's not going to allow you to stumble or shake. He puts you on firm ground. And now if you're not doing any of those things, you know, you think God is going to protect you and keep you and not let you slip. You know, you think about, does God not allow our feet to slip? Or is it us that do all the falling? It's us, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
There you go. That's right. Sometimes we got to get out of our own way sometimes, don't we? He does, he can, and he will help us from slipping. Let's look at one of the Psalms. Look at Psalms 121. Short little psalm, Psalms 121. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. You know, think about that. My help comes from the Lord. And so many times, you know, we rely on different books and different ideas and different things to help us through troubles and trials. There's only one source, isn't there, for our help? And that comes from God. And so, you know, we sing a song, you know, that there are trials and temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. What is that name of that song? Anyone? Maybe I should have sang it. Maybe it would help. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. And so you think about those words, you know, a friend. He is the ultimate friend, isn't he? We have a lot of good friends. We have a lot of brothers and sisters that we rely on. And sometimes we just have to realize that God is the ultimate one, isn't he? That's going to be there for us. And so we need to recognize that the Lord wants us to be refined. He doesn't want us to be defeated, does he? You know, the trials and temptations that happen. And you think about that. Let's look at James 1. We're probably familiar with this verses, James 1. Verses 2 through 4. You know, God wants us to get to the other side. He wants us to have that place of abundance. And you read James 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, we can be complete. We can have that strong enough faith that the trials and temptations that keep coming, you're going to continue to get stronger, aren't you? If you'll recognize, he wants us to get to the other side. He wants us, whether it be heaven or a stronger place after the trials. And you look back there in Psalms 66, look at the second part of verse 12. He says, he reminds them, yet you, God, brought us out into a place of abundance. He wants us there, doesn't he? He doesn't want us defeated. He wants us refined. He wants us to be stronger. He brought them and he'll bring us. But it's most importantly, it's about us being realizing that we have to be led. We have to let him lead us, whether it be through looking through his scripture or through prayer or through encouragement from our brothers and sisters, all those things that we have, all the blessings that we have in life. You know, the psalmist wants them to realize how great it is to be led out. How great it is after you've gone through that fire and to have a stronger faith and the abundance of blessings. If you'll recognize that those blessings have come, that you've got to that other side. Now let's look at verses 13 through 15. Here the psalmist is gonna come and praise God for what he's got done for him. Look at verse 13. I shall come into your house with burnt offerings. I shall pay you my vows with my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress, which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. I shall offer you burnt offerings of a fat beast. With the smoke of rams, I shall make an offering of bulls and male goats. You know, we see the psalmist telling us how he's going to praise God himself. He's going to be grateful. He's going to come to the tabernacle with burnt offerings and expressions of devotion to God. He's going to give back to God. And so what a great example for you and I as we, you know, as we recognize what God has done through us through Jesus to come and to give back to God, whether it be on the first day of the week or whatever opportunity you see to do good, do it. But he says he's going to bring the burnt offerings, an expression of devotion. And you can sense in him the thankfulness. You know, we're not sure what the difficulty was that caused him to make a vow. But he recognized that whatever it was, the situation that he was in, he recognized that God was the one that delivered him out. You know, he sees he's setting aside a time and expense to fulfill that vow and be thankful. You know, as I said earlier, it's very possible that David could have been the one that wrote this, because you think about that. You know, he's going to be offering, you know, someone such as a king would have all this availability to give rams, plural, and bulls, plural, and goats, you know. So you think about that, you know. But whatever it is that you have to give, is God recognizes that, is that it's giving from the heart. And, you know, we're very familiar with 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 and 8. I'm going to read that to you real quick. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Isn't that what God expects from us, right? He expects us to give cheerfully and have that heart that we saw the psalmist have, a heart of gratitude. You know, it was with gladness that he was able to give because of the blessings that he recognized there in the great gift that God had given him. And whatever he had seen him through, he recognizes that God was in control. Any comments before we look at the last part of the chapter? I must be doing a great job. I tend to talk a lot, don't I? All right, let's look at the last part of the chapter here. Look at verse 16 through 20. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell you of what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was exalted with my tongue. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. You know, the psalmist is wanting to let those who are hearing to know that God has answered his prayer. He wants them to see what God has done. And you see there, he says, come and hear, all who fear God. You know, you think about that, all who fear God. sometimes when we go through a difficulty, we want to share that we you know, what God has done for us, doesn't he? And we're hoping that someone outside of God, when we share those things with him, that they're going to say, oh, wow, yeah, God's seen you through that, didn't he? But you see the psalmist here. He's telling, come here, all who fear God. You know, sometimes we can think that someone's going to get encouraged by what we share with them, but not if they have no fear of God. Not if they don't have any fear of what, you know, God is in control. It's going to probably fall on deaf ears. Hopefully not. We can pray that they're going to get encouraged by it. But he says, come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. Hear and be encouraged. You know, fear is the beginning of knowledge. And those who don't have knowledge and fear of God, you know, I cried to him with my mouth, the psalmist says, and he was ready to give him praise, wasn't he? You know, this person showed faith. He already had it on his lips. He had it already extolled on with my tongue. It was ready at the tip of my tongue because he knew God was going to see him through that. The difficult times that he had poured out, he says he had cried out to him. And I know many of us have been through a lot of difficulties in my life, in your life. And to have that faith and be ready to praise him even while you're going through that difficulty. That's hard, isn't it? It's very hard. And so he prayed with confidence, and he prayed with confidence that God would answer. You know, many times we say, when we're going through those difficulties, like, what am I going to do? It's almost like we're looking for that answer, but the answer's already there, isn't it? But it's hard. But he was ready to praise God. He made this prayer with a confident expectation that God's character and God's love for him, that he was already praising him while he was making his request. Now, what faith that is. But this writer there, one thing for sure, that you look there in verse 18 again. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. One thing for sure that this writer knew, and that if we regard wickedness, the Lord's not going to hear. You know, some versions may, instead of the word regard, may say cherished sin. You know, the Hebrew word, therefore, is see. If you see that you have wickedness and a sin in your heart, that you're not doing anything about it, he's not going to hear your prayer. You have something in your heart or in your life that is wrong in God's sight, and you know it, and you haven't done anything to remove it. You see it, you're keeping it, you regard it as okay. You know, Carrie touched on this last week in his lesson about forgiveness. You know, many times we say, well, I've forgiven, but I'm not going to forget. And you think about God, he'll remember your sins no more. He's not going to continue to dwell on those, is he? He's not going to continue to hold that up in his heart, and he's going to continue to look through the blood of Christ to you and even to those that may have sinned against you if they're in Christ. You see that. And you think about that this person recognized that I need to be right with God for him to hear my prayers. And so, you know, we think about, you know, we know John, 1 John 1:19, if we have sinned, you know, we need to go to him and pray for forgiveness and recognize that he is faithful and he will forgive. But certainly there, and if you look there in verse 19, he says, but certainly God has heard. God has heard, he writes. He gave heed to his prayer, didn't he? We have a gracious God, don't we? He's ready. He's able. His whole being is love, isn't he? He's certainly ready to give answer to our prayer and help us through those difficulties. He wants us to be forgiven. He wants to hear from us. He wants to know that we recognize that he is a loving, kind God, doesn't he? That's who God is. His attitude, his being, towards his people is one of loving kindness. And so he's loyal to us. He won't turn his back on us through those difficulties. He's always acts. And, you know, we think about a friend, and a friend is always looking out for your best interests. He is set in truth. And he's set, and he is reliable, and he will do what he says he will do. Questions or comments? Chuck? It's difficult. Yeah. Yeah, for recognize that God is not going to remember it, because if we continue in him, we're not going to recognize. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Corey. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah, good point. Yeah, Romans 1, that's good. Any other comments? Yeah, Leroy? Yeah. So the pretending of obedience, and they're going to come to a lot of things in their life as the enemies of God. That I took that a couple different ways, but you think about, if you look at it from what that says, you know, they're going to pretend. There's so many times in life we see people putting on a false front, whether it be religious people or those in life. But they will give. He says, your enemies will. They're going to come to right there to eternity, and they're going to give that obedience to God, even if they like it or not. Yeah, Chuck. Yeah. Keep deep down. That's right. Right. Yeah. No sincerity, no real effort, but yeah. Good point. Cause deep down, you know, God sees our hearts. And that's the one thing that we all need to recognize, whether we're dealing with someone in a difficult situation. God recognizes their hearts. He knows if they're an enemy of his or if they're his friend. We cannot always be able to decipher that. You can see their actions, but sometimes we need to just give it over to God. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Right. If you're still in the sin, you haven't turned it over to God. That's right. Exactly. Any other comments? Yeah, Richard? Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Good point. Yeah, because you bring that right to David and what he did. And yeah, and what he did with Bathsheba and Nathan confronted him. Yeah. 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 That's right. Yeah. Because of his sin. That's right. Yeah, there's a lot of things in here that we could look and point to David, but that's a great, great point there, Richard. All right. Thank you. Oh, Wayne, go ahead. Yep. Yeah. 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 Yeah, he can, yeah, and that example of that too. Right. Yeah. And there again, God recognized that. If they're not, they're, you know, God is a God of truth. And so